you are about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Welcome to Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, the Lymph Node Edition. Hey, this is Bugsy. You know, floating up here in my escape vessel from the former Lymph Node Institute space station with no control at all has given me plenty of time to think and reflect back on all the secrets I've spilled in the past. You know, now that there's nobody here to talk to, all I can do is share them with you. Well, I guess tonight's show will be our secret show. Let's pretend it's on a DVD and you found some crazy little Easter egg. And this is a special treat for you. Enjoy.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care.
Listen,
do you want to know,
to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
Whoa. Closer, let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
The secret government is an interlocking network of official functionaries, spies, mercenaries, ex-generals, profiteers, and super-patriots who, for a variety of motives, operate outside the legitimate institutions of government. Presidents have turned to them when they can't win the support of the Congress or the people, creating that unsupervised power so feared by the framers of our Constitution. Suppose the enterprise grew into a super-secret, self-financing, self-perpetuating organization. Suppose they decided on their own to assassinate Gorbachev or the leader of white South Africa. Could a president control them? And what if he became the enterprise's public enemy number one? Who would know? Who would say no?
The secret government will continue in a few moments
with the history of our secret government.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. secret.
Was over. Europe lay devastated. The United States emerged as the most powerful nation on earth. But from the rubble rose a strange new world, a peace that was not peace, and a war that was not war. We saw it emerging when the Soviets occupied Eastern Europe. The Cold War had begun. The Russians had been our ally against the Nazis, an expedient alliance for the sake of war. Now they were our enemy. To fight them, we turned to some of the very men who had inflicted on humanity the horrors of Hitler's madness. We hired Nazis as American spies. We struck a secret bargain with the devil.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
Machine or mannequin.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made.
Machines to dehumanize.
One that I know real well is Klaus Barbie. He was wanted by the French as their number one war criminal. And somehow we employed a man like that as a very secretive informant.
Klaus Barbie, the butcher of Lyon, who had tortured and murdered thousands of Jews and resistance fighters. The Americans did not turn Barbie over to the French when they finished with him. They helped him escape to Bolivia. Other top Nazis were smuggled into the United States to cooperate in the war against the new enemy. So began the morality of the Cold War. Anything goes. The struggle required a mentality of permanent war, a perpetual state of emergency. And it meant a vast new apparatus of power that radically transformed our government. Its foundations were laid when President Truman signed into law the National Security Act of 1947.
Now, that National Security Act of 1947 changed dramatically the direction of this great nation. It established the framework for a national security state.
Get out. There's no coming back.
National security was invented in 1947, and now it has become the prime mover of everything we do is measured against something we invented in 1947. The National Security Act also gave us the Central Intelligence Agency.
This is the house the Cold War built, the CIA, the core of the new secret government. Its chief legitimate duty was to gather foreign intelligence for America's new role as a world power. Soon it was taking on covert operations, abroad and at home.
Everyone's got secrets, dirty little secrets. If I got one on you,
if I got one on you.
But no, they may be secrets, they may show your weakness. Well, are they really true?
1953, the CIA mounted its first major covert operation to overthrow a foreign government. The target was the Prime Minister of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh. He held power legitimately through his country's parliamentary process, and he was popular. Washington had once looked to him as the man to prevent a communist takeover. But that was before Mossadegh decided that the Iranian state, not British companies, ought to own and control the oil within Iran's own borders. When he nationalized the British-run oil fields, Washington saw red. The Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, and his brother Allen, director of the CIA, decided with Eisenhower's approval to overthrow Mossadegh and reinstate the Shah of Iran. The mobs paid by the CIA and the police and soldiers bribed by the CIA drove Mossadegh from office.
Crown Prince Abdullah greets the Shah as he lands at Baghdad Airport after a seven-hour flight from Rome.
The King of Kings was back in control and more pliable than Mossadegh. American oil companies took over almost half of Iran's production. U.S. arms merchants moved in with $18 billion of weapon sales over the next 20 years. But there were losers.
Nearly everybody in Iran of any importance has had a brother or a mother or a sister or a son or a father tortured, jailed, deprived of property without due process. I mean, an absolutely buccaneering dictatorship in our name that we supported. SAVAK was created by the CIA.
SAVAK, the Shah's secret police, tortured and murdered thousands of his opponents.
Khomeini is a direct consequence, and the hostage crisis is a direct consequence, and the resurgence of the Shia is a direct consequence of the CIA's overthrow of Mossadegh in 1953.
First things first, I have a happy secret. The next bit's worse, I intend to keep it that way. Most likely in the girl, most likely.
Flushed with success, America's secret government decided another troublesome leader must go. This time it was Jacobo Arbenz, the democratically elected president of Guatemala.
It was explained to me that it was very important for the security of the United States that we were going to prevent a Soviet beachhead in this hemisphere, which we have heard about very recently, of course, and that the Guatemalan government was communist, and we had to do something about it.
President Arbenz had admired Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and his government voted often with the American position at the United Nations. But in trying to bring a new deal to Guatemala, Arbenz committed two sins in the eyes of the Eisenhower administration. First, when he opened the system to all political parties, he recognized the communists, too.
Well, of course, there was no even a hint of communism in his government. He had no communists in his cabinet. He did permit the existence of a very small communist party.
Arbenz also embarked on a massive land reform program. Less than 3% of the landowners held more than 70% of the land. So Arbenz nationalized more than 1.5 million acres, including land owned by his own family, and turned it over to peasants. Much of that land belonged to the United Fruit Company, the giant American firm that was intent on keeping Guatemala, quite literally, a banana republic. United Fruit appealed to its close friends in Washington, including the Dulles brothers, who said that Arbenz was openly playing the communist game. He had to go.
That's no lie.
CIA had called its covert action against Guatemala Operation Success. Military dictators ruled the country for the next 30 years. The United States provided them with weapons and trained their officers. The communists we saved them from would have been hard-pressed to do it better. Peasants were slaughtered. Political opponents were tortured. Suspected insurgents were shot, stabbed, burned alive, or strangled. There were so many deaths at one point that coroners complained they couldn't keep up with the workload. Operation Success.
What we did has caused a succession of repressive military dictatorships in that country and has been responsible for the death of over 100,000 of their citizens.
Good vibrations, good vibrations, good vibrations, good vibrations. Gotta keep those loving good vibrations a-happening with her. Gotta keep those loving good vibrations a-happening with her.
Secret government was prepared for anything.
At one time, the CIA organized a small department known as Executive Action, which was a permanent assassination capability.
Well, it wasn't just an assassination capability. It was a capability to discredit or get rid of people. But it could have included assassination.
And it did. There were at least 8 documented attempts to kill Castro. He says there were 2 dozen. And there was even one effort to put LSD in his cigars. To help us get rid of the Cuban leader, our secret government turned to the mafia, just as we once made use of Nazis. The gangsters included the Las Vegas mafioso John Rosselli, the Don of Chicago, Sam Giancana, and the boss of Tampa, Santo Traficante.
If I read you correctly, you're saying it's the involvement with the mafia that disturbed you and not the need or decision to assassinate a foreign leader.
Correct.
It's a chilling thought, made more chilling by the assassination of John Kennedy. The accusations linger. In some minds, the suspicions persist of a dark, unsolved conspiracy behind his murder. You can dismiss them, as many of us do, but knowing now what our secret government planned for Castro, the possibility remains. Once we decide that anything goes, anything can come home to haunt us.
Many of the secret warriors in Southeast Asia had no such doubts or regrets. Some of the team that later joined the Iran-Contra Enterprise helped to run the secret war in Laos.
Coming in from an altitude of about 2,000 feet.
As General Richard Secord later put it, Laos belonged to the CIA. Looking back, it's stunning how easily the Cold War enticed us into surrendering popular control of government to the national security state. We've never come closer to bestowing absolute authority on the president. Setting up White House groups that secretly decide to fight dirty little wars is a direct assumption of the war powers expressly forbidden by the Constitution. Not since December 1941 has Congress declared war. Since then, we've had a police action in Korea, advisors in Vietnam, covert operations in Central America, peacekeeping in Lebanon, and low-intensity conflicts going on right now from Angola to Cambodia. We've turned the war powers of the United States over to where we're never really sure who, or what they're doing, or what it costs, or who is paying for it. The one thing we are sure of is that this largely secret global war, carried on with less and less accountability to democratic institutions, has become a way of life. And now we're faced with a question brand new in our history. Can we have the permanent warfare state and democracy too?
I know you put in the hours to keep in sunglasses. I know.
waiting in the basement of my brain. I know you put in the hours to keep me in sunglasses. I know, and so with that, well, I'm sorry I missed you. I had a secret meeting in the basement of my brain.
Can it happen again? You bet it can. The apparatus of secret power remains intact in a huge White House staff operating in the sanctuary of presidential privilege. George Bush has already told the National Security Council to take more responsibility for foreign policy, which can, of course, be exercised beyond public scrutiny. And a lot of people in Washington are calling for more secrecy, not less, including more covert action. This is a system easily corrupted as the public grows indifferent again and the press is seduced or distracted. So one day, sadly, we're likely to discover once again that while freedom does have enemies in the world, it can also be undermined here at home, in the dark, by those posing as its friends. I'm Bill Moyers. Good night.
There's something I know that no one else does. You want me to tell you what it is? But if I did that, then it wouldn't be a secret.
I gotta move my body tonight. I'm gonna go dancing, dancing, dancing. Dreaming about the nights at the club, the fun and romancing, romancing, romancing. Mommy sees the look in my eyes. Something different, different, different. Daddy doesn't understand why, but he can tell something's different, different, different. I've got a secret, my own little secret. No one knows my secret, 'cause it's a secret, secret. Shh, don't tell. Don't tell.
I tripped my goal.
Don't tell.
I tripped my goal.
Don't tell.
And nobody knows that my bush is cut low as I dance and I sing and I put on a show. And I'm feeling so free, nothing hanging off me while the bass gets stronger.
Music is filling my body from my head to my toes, 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 toes. The DJ gives me a smile, maybe he knows. I hear whispers to my left and my right, all over the party, party, party. I'm the superstar of the night. I did something naughty. Don't tell, I'd like to tell you where, but don't tell, I got a secret. Don't tell, it's my own secret.
I dream my.
so fuzzy and far. Cause when my shrub is short and tight, my piggy won't get lost. I had a secret, don't tell, but now you know my secret. Don't tell, I gave my bush some haircuts. Don't tell, to emphasize my bare nuts. I trim my bush. Don't tell. I trim my bush. Don't tell.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Oh, God. We played a lot of stuff. We played Mr. Bungle's secret song off of Disco Volante. We played Untidy Towns by the Lucksmiths. We played an edit of the song Ruled by Secrecy by Muse. We played a variation on The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by Queens of the Stone Age off their CD Rated R. We played a song called Secret Meeting by The National. And we played Secret Chiefs 3, their version of Good Vibrations, originally by the Beach Boys. We played some robots reciting the Beatles' Do You Want to Know a Secret? And my version of Johnny Rivers' Secret Agent Man. We played an edit of Mr. Roboto by Styx and of A Secret Place by Megadeth. We played a song called Secrets by The Zootons and a clip of the worst song I have ever heard in my life called Secret Garden by Peter Freakin' Murphy. And we also played Bug Brain's song Secret Gravy. And lastly, here's a secret from me to you. The next song you're going to hear was supposed to be played on the last L&I version of the Funhouse. It's Ween's track, Monique the Freak, as should have been played in my freak show. Enjoy, and get right with Bob! You may also have heard excerpts from PBS's The Secret Government with Bill Moyers and Adam Sandler's song, Secret.
If you would like more information on
the Church of the Subgenius,
you could write to them at
P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online
at
subgenius.com.
you know the name of the promo you'd like to hear.
You have selected Hour of Flack.
In a world gone pink, one ragtag band of Yetis dares to fight the conspiracy. Red-eyed warriors behind enemy lines courageously rescue your slack every Saturday night at midnight on WREK Atlanta.
General for Life J.R. Bob Dobbs rallies the troops under the auspices of his fluffy puppet Ivan Stang to guide the world into a new dark age of slack.
But it won't be
easy!
The conspiracy thought tube is slurping at your cerebellum and molesting your medulla oblongata!
Don't call your pusher, don't call your priest. Just listen to the Hour of Slack, followed by Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, every Saturday night at midnight, right here on
WREK Atlanta.